hath made herself ready, by A.S. Copley. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, or bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. In this book of Revelation, we find that it was the Lamb's wife who had made herself ready, who is the Lamb. It is he of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. He is the great, unique, central figure of time and eternity, and he shall have a wife. Did you ever read or hear such romantic language that a lamb should be married? It is far more than romance of poetry. Not only do we contemplate that a lion-like conqueror shall have a bride as a reward for his conquests, as was often the case among the nations, nay, far grander than that, he who was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers was dumb, shall be joined to a bride of the same lamb-like, self-sacrificing, gentle character. Who is the Lamb's wife? How does she become such? Where does she come from? Of what nationality is she? Is she the only daughter of some world-famed celebrity? Is she imported from some far country? How did she learn of the possibility or even probability of a union so great and sublime? These are interesting queries whose answers are found in the Book of Books and may be discovered in this tract. However, we are especially concerned at this time with the fact that his wife hath made herself ready. To have a good, clear beginning, we must answer the first questions, or let our beloved Apostle Paul answer them. Addressing the church at Corinth, he said, "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present a chaste virgin to Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:2. Other scriptures indicate that the church in Corinth was to be considered as a small part of the great whole. That is, the Holy Spirit thus spoke through the Apostle Paul to all the churches. He espoused or fitted together or harmonized the whole body of present-day believers unto Christ. But the next verse shows that some believers do not yield to the divine espousal or the process of harmonizing them for bridehood. He had grave fears lest some minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. That is, turned away from plain chastity and a simple virgin character. False teachers were introducing another Jesus, another spirit instead of the Holy Spirit, as well as another gospel, which dimmed the God-given vision of Christ that had come to them and was causing them to depreciate Paul's message and mission. Therefore, if believers lose their childlike simplicity and virgin purity and become entangled with religions and flirt with other lovers, so that their gaze upon Christ is changeable and unsteady and their light flickers, how can they be in the bridal company, though they were originally espoused to Christ? Such saints are not making themselves ready for marriage to the Lamb. The exaltation of the bridal company. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Revelation 4, verse 4. Be it remembered that the 24 elders and the 4 living ones are the same company mentioned under different aspects, first as rulers and then as worshipers. When on thrones, they are ruling elders. When on their faces, they are worshipers. Looking back again, we find saints on earth like those whom John saw in heaven in a vision. They are worshipers. They are no longer babes in Christ, but fathers and mothers bearing the stamp of eldership. They receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. In all things they are more than conquerors through him. They are making themselves ready for thrones in glory. Though they be in outward bondage here, circumscribed and handicapped, yet they reign by faith and love and hope, turning every condition into stepping stones toward the throne in glory. They pray while others gossip. They read the Bible when others read the papers. They worship when others visit. They toil while others loiter. They control their own spirits, hence are greater than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. The weakest saint thus becomes strong in the Lord. Clearness of vision belongs to the bridal company, full of eyes before and behind, full of eyes within. Revelation 4:6-8. Do they obtain those eyes after they reach the glory? No, they have them here on earth. They are simple-hearted and believe Jesus' words. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16:13-14. On earth they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. The Holy Spirit opens their minds, or understanding, and opens to them the Scriptures, Luke 24:32-45, and Romans 12:2. Through Paul's words of superabounding grace, they learn the perfect will of God and go on to perfection. See Ephesians 1:17-18. When they reach the throne room in glory, they will not feel embarrassed by the surroundings, having become acquainted with them beforehand through the Spirit. Beloved reader, are you thus learning the Lord and his word and his will? Their mobile equipment. Each of them has six wings, Revelation 4:8. Isaiah calls them seraphim, and Ezekiel calls them living creatures, Isaiah 6:2 and Ezekiel 1:5. The birds have only two wings, but believers have four on earth and will have six in heaven. Four being the number of man in the world figures God's ample supply for all our activities down here. There is none to waste on the flesh, but no lack for our activities in the Spirit. We await the arrival of our glorified bodies in heaven.